your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. I have a great crew with me today. It's somewhat of a party, but I've got Adrian Zimmerman and Rhett Taylor, co-founders at Ned & Co. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, even more fun. I love having multiple guests on the show because it does feel like a party line. So I was really excited to have you guys on. And of course, you know, I've been talking to you guys and I've had the privilege of trying some of your products. So I'm already a big fan and, you know, excited for you guys to talk about, you know, the mission around the company and all the fun things that you guys are doing. But, you know, I think just to start off the show, you know, it'd be great for you guys to kind of introduce yourselves and like, how did you guys meet? How'd you guys come up with the idea? And, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the launch and the vision of the company.
So Adrian and I both went to University of Colorado here in Boulder, but we didn't know each other. As Adrian likes to point out as often as he can, I'm a little bit older than him. But we both lived in New York City doing the NYC grind for half a decade for me, and I think a decade or so for you, Adrian.
Yeah, just about 9 years.
Yeah, and you know, we the Buffaloes, we all flocked together. CU Buffs, that is, and had a mutual friend and just connected that way. Did some partying together, did some New York City stuff, and just always had a mutual respect for each other, and then reconnected. I guess, although I'm skipping a big part of the story here.
Yeah, well, it was 2016 we reconnected, and really at that point, we were just thinking like, you know, maybe we should create something together. And like Rhett said, that's jumping ahead quite a bit. So we can jump into Rhett's story a little bit, because that was really the jumping off point.
Yeah. So after leaving New York, I lived in Saudi Arabia for 2 years. I brought my business over there, and business was great.
Right, that's something you hear all the time. Like, I went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, my first job was in Saudi Arabia, and I have a lot of great friends and a great network over there. Mm-hmm. And ended up coming back to the States and landed in Boulder, Colorado, which is one of the best things I've ever done for myself. Really put myself in a place where I would have the space to identify what was truly important to me and what I wanted my life to look like, being in the mountains, that is.
By the way, are you guys skiers just by chance? Like, is that one of the big reasons you're both there too?
Ski and snowboard, but you know, University of Colorado is just the most incredible collegiate experience you can imagine. And I think anybody who goes leaves with this deep affinity for Boulder and a lot of great memories and just memories of a great quality of life. And so Boulder, beyond our skiing and snowboarding, which we both love, Boulder's just a great town.
You guys should really be talking to the tourism board in Boulder. Like, I mean, that makes me want to come out to Boulder just from hearing what you guys are saying. And I'm a New York City guy, so sounds like a great quality of life.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it also opened up that space for me to identify what was important. And I had a very successful business selling hotel furniture, which was never a passion, but really identified my purpose, which is to help people reconnect with nature. And and that was sort of, for me, the seed that began, that eventually led to Ned. At the same time, my mom had breast cancer, and I was looking to find alternative medicine and natural remedies for her, which her doctors just weren't telling her about. And so started, you know, identified CBD as one of those good natural remedies and started taking it and really did a kind of a deep dive into the industry and realized that there were a lot of questions that weren't being answered for me, and started answering them myself by meeting with farmers out in their fields. And at the back of the mind, there was this idea of creating a brand of my own. And then found the parts and pieces, the farmer and the extraction, and the very next thing I did was gave Adrian a call.
What are some of maybe your strengths or even some of your weaknesses too, like as co-founders, like how do you complement, you know, one another? You know, I've, you know, launched many businesses myself, and co-founders always have a very, you know, interesting way of like, you're in this swim lane, you're in this swim lane, I do great here, you do great there. Like, what are some of the things that you guys really complement each other on?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Rhett gave me a call because I have a background in media and storytelling. I've been in the startup world since I was 22. And just to take a quick step back, you know, basically the way I found myself here in Boulder and as a free agent, I wish I could say it was as consciously and voluntarily as Rhett's very mature decision. But you know, for me, I had been in that New York grind for almost 10 years, and you know, in digital media, just really just a full on, you know, hustle lifestyle, which is, you know, in my world, it was work, women, and partying, and it was you know, just trying to check off all these boxes you set out for yourself in your 20s and trying to like look up to who you think is successful and match up. And, you know, I found myself at 32 having had an exit under my belt and very much living the life I thought I wanted, which was the bachelor pad. It was hockey tickets. It was weekend getaways and shiny toys and, you know, going on all the dates I wanted and thinking I was really awesome, to then kind of coming out the back end of that with this just deep sense of emptiness and really just questioning like, what is this all for? And, you know, those really common existential questions that I don't think we all talk about, but many of us will have at some point. And, yeah, so I ended up moving out to the UK, just trying to fix it, thinking it's a place, it's not the person, and that I've just kind of outgrown New York. And the quick and dirty of it is I was just suppressing all of these questions and thoughts, and it ended up emerging in the form of a full-on panic attack I had in front of a 75-person company that I was running out in the UK. And it was one of the scariest and most jarring moments of my life, and really didn't know what to make of it. And you know, basically I was fired after 6 months in that job, and you know, was confronted with this path. There were two paths, really. It was, you know, go get some Xanax and try to keep pushing through it and figure out, you know, what's next by leaning into the same things that I had been leaning into, which was work and partying and dating, or it was take a step back and really reevaluate and really try to look inwards, which for someone at that point in 2015 had never done so. And it was a bit scary, but ended up booking a one-way ticket to Kathmandu and thought I might be away for a couple of months or something, but turned into 2 years of really just wandering and looking inwards and exploring, you know, parts of my life that I had left unexplored and just getting altitude on the way I had been living my life. So fast forward 2 years, and I was doing a little road trip from Utah to Colorado, and Rhett had already been campaigning for my move to Colorado, and it was just one morning drive through Glenwood Canyon that it just hit me that it was time to come back here. And so a month later I was here, and then, you know, I got that call from Rhett about 2 months after being in Colorado. And, you know, it was something I remember vividly. He was super excited. I mean, that's not abnormal. Rhett's an excited guy, but he was particularly excited this day. And he was just like, buddy, I think I found something. Like, I think I found it. And we had already been talking about doing something together, and I've been trading ideas forever. And he had just met this incredible farmer out in Paonia, which is one of the most incredible farming communities in the country that I had never heard of at that point. And he had just met this farmer, and he had figured out this incredible extraction method. And that really kicked off this exploration into what Ned could be. And then back to your original question, 17 minutes later, is, I have this background in brand and storytelling and startups. Rhett is one of those smarter, both social and operational minds I know. Like, he's just has such a gift with people and with just understanding like how values fit into a business. And it's beyond just dollars and cents. There's really purpose, and there's meaning in business. And we kind of combined those two minds and were able to establish the foundation of Ned, which was really rooted in a mission, and it was rooted in the why, and rooted in this belief that we can all feel better and live better through more simple means and a deeper connection to the natural world. And as we've continued on this path, it's actually made this business in particular a lot easier, because a lot of decisions are already made for us, right? Like, we have our values, we have our mission, we have our belief systems that were set in the very beginning. So as these, you know, little crossroads come up, is there a cheaper, faster, better, or not better, but cheaper and faster way to do it? Or is there the right way, which tends to be the better way? That decision's already been made for us. And it's proven to be a really complementary partnership in so many ways.
Great story, Adrian. I think, you know, for many people too, they kind of go through that moment of like being vulnerable and, you know, have to wake up and see what their life's mission really is. So, you know, thanks for sharing that. Not a lot of people will share that, you know, that type of story. When you guys launched the company, like, talk to me a little bit about, where did Ned come from? Like, where did you get the name?
Yeah. Well, you know, it kind of went back to my original conversation with my mom, who I mentioned had breast cancer, and I was buying CBD for her. You know, it was a conversation that's happened literally across the country, maybe around the world at this point, where the kids, the grandkids, the nieces and nephews are telling the older generation, you know, mom, there's this thing, it's called CBD, it's going to help with this or that. I really think you should try it. And then, you know, mom or grandma saying, I've never used marijuana in my whole life, and I'm not going to start now. And are the police going to show up? And, you know, those were the two things my mom said. And I realized, you know, or I should say, we realized that was going to be a major conversation. And we always wanted to be really approachable. Approachability is very important to us. And it's the reason why we look the way we do. Our packaging is the way it is. It looks much more like a high-end like bath product or a beauty product than it does a hemp or cannabis product.
I love the packaging, by the way. Especially what I found was like the when I did get the sleep blend product, the tincture, just the colors and the moon and like the way you opened it, like it was more of a circular tube type packaging, like. I don't know. There's just, I can't really explain about what the feeling was when I opened it, but I really enjoyed it. You know, I was like, oh, this is cool. And it's also, it felt very luxurious, if you will. You know, I just really enjoyed it. And I think that's part of the customer experience that's so important when it was my first time ever being exposed to your product and trying it. it just created almost like a sense of excitement, I guess.
Thank you. Yeah, good to hear.
Thank you. We, you know, we had, that's our second round of packaging. Our first round we also liked as well, but at a certain point, we began to feel like the quality of the product inside the bottle was outmatching the exterior, the packaging, and so we actually spent over a year redesigning. And I'm glad that you get that sense, because we now feel like the, you know, the two are equal. The quality inside is as good as outside.
Without a question. And I noticed that on the bottle, there was actually like handwritten, like I think it was a batch or something like that. What exactly was that?
Yeah, that's the batch number. You know, we're a small batch brand. We, you know, it goes back to a lot of those values that we had mentioned, you know, that, you know, NED stands for this mission, which is to help people feel better and live better, really through the powers of the natural world. And when we unpack that, you know, it means that there are many plants and herbs and roots and minerals and fungi and algae and things that come from the natural world that can offer a better first line of defense before turning to pharmaceuticals and over-the-counter meds. And, you know, when we, you know, set out to really look at this space, not just what was happening in cannabis and hemp, but also in wellness in general, we were seeing, you know, really three classes of brands emerging. It was brands that were very scientific, brands that were very like biohacky and sciencey, and then so many brands that were more almost like predictably natural, having a little bit of that like bolder aesthetic and the kind of crunchiness, if for lack of a better term. And we didn't really see a brand that was speaking to people like us and would be also kind of a complementary to those conversations like Rhett was having with his mom. That's like, hey, there's this brand, this product, and I would like you to try it. And you know, so the way we found a big part of the brand is telling stories. It's really bringing a sense of place to our products. And that sense of place includes where it comes from, who's touching the product, right down to who the farmer is. Like on our COA's page, you can see which farmer, which is the one farmer we work with, grew that hemp. And, you know, even as far as what the GPS coordinates of our farm is. And you know, we just think that's been so important. And frankly, that type of business model really lends itself to being small batch and, you know, growing on a small farm and, you know, being able to trace every step of the process back to every single batch. And, you know, and we're not running production lines of 200,000 units at a time. Like, we are taking the time to hand mark every batch and really just taking that extra time, which is in the fabric of our brand, but, you know, also really reflective of the way we think about our customer experience. And for us, you know, at the really anchoring our entire brand has been this huge focus on customer experience and how do we offer something different and something meaningful and something that can offer that emotional connection with our customers by just doing the right thing, as we mentioned before, but then like thinking about what else can we do that really just communicates to them that, you know, we see them and we hear them and we really value them and we don't look at them as just customers.
Totally. So, you know, I want to call out to you guys, you know, some data that I saw this past week that came out of MRI. And they were really talking about the growth, especially among young adults, from not just a, you know, CBD perspective, but THC as well. But apparently there's a 50% increase in consumption you know, over the last 2 years, 25% increase in CBD use, which was around 15 million, 43% on the THC side to 26 million, and 33% use both. So there's this massive kind of hockey stick acceleration of people utilizing not just CBD, but THC. Clearly, you know, post-election, there's five additional states that have come on board from a recreational and medical perspective. And now you're starting to see, like, you know, the Gwyneth Paltrows and the Martha Stewarts of the world launching their own lines. You know, this is obviously a massive time for, you know, the plant in all capacities. But obviously, with more and more players coming on the market, I think, you know, it's critical, obviously, with your brand to really, you know, hone in on what you guys did from the start and your roots. And I feel like, you know, word of mouth and people, you know, who have used your products and love your products are so important. And I'm just curious what you guys think, you know, it was very different from when you started the company. Now, you know, as you kind of mature as an organization, you know, the market's different. It's changed because it's now obviously more accepted, but there's more players entering the space. And so how do you compete with all of these folks that are kind of, you know, creating a lot of noise?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly if you look at it from a macro level, people are much more, there's a lot more interest in natural remedies than there was just 3 or 4 years ago.
Totally.
There's also more of a distrust of the pharmaceutical industry, as you can see from the results of the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to answer part of your question, a good portion of the interest that we're seeing, the new customers, the growth in market, is coming from those two elements, as well as, you know, those are two main elements where we're seeing that growth. Adrian, you want to take the other part of that question?
Though? Yeah, well, Rhett and I kind of have different approaches to the competitive landscape. For me personally, like I don't look at competition. I don't look at what others are doing. It honestly just gives me a little bit too much anxiety and just starts thinking, you know, it's like the comparing mind, which is obviously a big theme in Buddhism and just a big cause of suffering. And, you know, so for me personally, it's really not about who else is doing what. And, you know, this looking at this competitive landscape, Rhett monitors and he's more aware than I am of all these new entrants and who's doing what. But I found that for me personally, just really focusing on Ned and, you know, those core principles that we have as a business and really just executing what we're doing and continuing to improve our customer experience has really been the, you know, the what's been driving, you know, just us staying the course and not being lured into one direction or the other.
Yeah. And I like had to like stop sending Adrian images and, you know, and I have, and sometimes it's difficult cause I'll come across something. I'll be like, Ooh, look at this. But I absolutely stopped sharing anything about our competition with Adrian. And I've also taken a big step back from looking at our competition, based on Adrian's example. And I do so with confidence because it's just daily that we're getting compliments and you know, from people whose opinions we truly value.
Yeah, well, I will tell you guys, I've tried a lot of products and, you know, work with a ton of companies out there, especially in the CBD space. And I do think that there is a level of major difference with your products, your packaging, like the experience itself, like it's beyond. So I think you guys are doing a really great job there. You know, I like the motto of plants before pills. And I think I kind of even throwing it back to myself, like was on the road for years, you know, 10, 15 years of constant air travel and meetings, global travel. And, you know, I've always had issues with sleeping. So I was literally on Ambien. You know, some people take Ambien like once every time they go, you know, to Asia or Europe. I was taking Ambien every night just to go like turn my brain off and go down. Like Mm-hmm. And every moment that I would be like, wow, this is not good. We don't know the long-term effects of Ambien. And I've been on it for so long. Like I started taking it after September 11th, which was, you know, 20 years ago, when Santa Fe first came out with, you know, the product. And I've stopped it for years. I haven't been on it, but like, you know, that to me is, it's so important that we use the natural resources of the world around us to help us before we turn to chemically, you know, produce things that are not good for our bodies. So yeah. I really appreciate you guys, of what you do and the motto itself. Cause I was there.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, that word before is carefully chosen. It's not, you know, plants, not pills. It's plants before pills, because there's certainly a place for pills in modern medicine. But like Adrian mentioned, you know, we really want to be a better first line of defense. So instead of directly going to your doctor and being prescribed handfuls of pills, which then lead to other handfuls and yet others, we really want people to understand that there are alternatives and to try those alternatives, which don't have the long list of side effects that many of the pharmaceuticals do. If those don't work, then by all means, modern medicine has its place.
Yeah, and you know, I think a few good examples. I mean, there's so many of these what I'd call like pharma loop companies out there, big D2C players who are taking advantage of telemedicine and, you know, providing ED meds at a, you know, drop of a hat, which, you know, it was first hair loss, right? Yeah, it was hair loss, which, you know, taking these hair loss meds that then leads to ED and sexual performance issues. So then they're going to offer the, you know, the ED drugs, and, you know, it just turns into this like terrible loop of just pharmaceutical dependence, really. Yeah. So, you know, again, we totally believe in science and modern medicine, and, you know, there's absolutely a place for it in everybody's life whenever it's needed. But again, it's that question of like, you're having a shitty day. Should you go get Zoloft or Xanax, or is there something else? And it might not even be a supplement, right? It might be going outside and getting some sun on your face for a few minutes a day. It might be putting your phone in the kitchen when you go to sleep so it's not next to your bed. It might be moving your body. It might be cutting out sugars in your diet. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be products. And that also finds its way into our brand and our mission and our content is, you know, we're not here just to sell products, right? Like we believe in this alternative way of living that, you know, you don't need to turn to those silver bullet fixes, that incremental steps can really make huge improvements in our lives.
Totally. So guys, we have obviously the holidays coming up pretty soon. And just curious, like on your front, like, are you guys doing anything special for the holidays as far as promotions? Did you do anything around Black Friday? Like, what's the strategy there?
Yeah, well, we did do a Cyber Week offer. You know, we only do 3 sales a year. We try not to heavily discount. You know, I think we have enough brand equity that we don't have to depend on heavy discounting to continue our growth. But we did do our typical Cyber Week offer. We offered 20% off site wide and saw great performance. This year was really unpredictable. We, you know, had no idea what effects, you know, this move away from brick and mortar retail was going to have on our business. You know, how competitive the e-commerce landscape would be. Because we are actually a direct to consumer company. I don't know if we've mentioned that, but that's 98% of our revenue is D2C. And we did see an incredible jump in CPMs, in CPCs, and pretty significant drop in ROAS compared to last year. But we still perform great. And, you know, we always put together holiday bundles. We're doing a sleep bundle and a full spectrum hemp bundle.
We made a sweet hot toddy lip balm.
Oh, it's the best. It's so good. We did the limited run CBD lip balm, hot toddy flavor, which is like the epitome of like a good winter cocktail.
Yeah. Adrian had a lot of fun stylizing that shoot.
Yeah. It was just me and a bottle of bourbon in the photo room here.
Cool. Yeah. Well, this is great, guys. You know, if you guys have listened to the show before, you know, from time to time, we'll, you know, talk about life and business first, but then we'll kind of end it with some quick fire questions. And I figured since I've got you both on today, it might be fun to bring this back. I haven't done it in a few episodes.
Let's do it.
You guys ready?
Let's go.
Yeah.
So I'm ad-libbing this, so I've got to think of them as I go. And you guys, both of you could answer, or maybe if one of you only has an answer, but maybe first question, what's the dumbest way you've been injured before?
Running too much. That's pretty dumb, right?
That's happened to me before. I mean, I feel like the dumbest way of being injured is like maybe like grabbing your coffee cup and like doing something to your finger, right? Like something like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm lucky that I haven't had too many injuries. So
yeah.
Like, all right. We'll go to the next one. We'll figure out something better. So how about this is a really good one. I love this one. What's the best and worst purchase you've ever made?
Oh, the worst, I can tell you right now. I was invited to sushi with some friends, and then I looked up the sushi place, and it was in Times Square, and I thought to myself, well, that's weird. Like, I hate going to Times Square, but these are good friends. I'll go, and I get to the address, and it was a strip club. I'm like, am I in the wrong place or what? And then a friend comes by, and he's like, hey. Brings me upstairs, and it was sushi off a naked woman, and it was just so uncomfortable. And the sushi wasn't even good. And then we get the bill, and it was $500, and I absolutely did not have $500 to spend on sushi, much less off a naked woman. And that was regrettable.
Oh my god, that's definitely a good one.
Well done. Let's see. I'd say best purchase. I'd have to just go with simply like Gore-Tex shoes on my travels. Like total game changer. Never wet feet, and you know, a little bit extra cash, but absolutely made my life better for 2 years.
I like it. So I'm going to answer this one too. I'm going to ask you guys, but I have a real, I did this to someone the other day and it was hilarious. So what's the most ridiculous thing someone has tricked you into doing or believing? And, I had my sister-in-law out here a couple weeks ago, and she drank a ton and smoked and was really messed up. And I don't know how she believed me, but I got her to believe that Canada had changed their name to Canadia. And I literally the whole night, she's like, I can't believe that. I'm like, no, it's true. You know, they just changed it today. It's all over the news. She didn't, of course, check her phone. And then the next day she's literally calling her husband and she's like, Mike, you're never going to believe this, but it's no longer Canada. And she's from Rochester, New York. She's like, they call it Canada. He's like, what? She's like, yeah. And then he believed it too. I finally had to tell her, like, I'm just fucking with you. Like, it's not true. But it was so funny. Like, it was really, he had to be there.
Anyway, I believe it. I mean, that's absurd.
It's absurd. Well, guys, this was awesome. And, you know, it was great having you both on the show and, you know, learning a little bit more about Ned. And you got a happy customer over here, and wish you guys all the success, and, you know, keep up the fight and keep what you're doing and keep, you know, focus on brand and your identity, and, you know, wish you guys great luck going into 2021.
Yeah, you too, Jeff. Thank you so much for having us. And we've heard so many good things about you from multiple people. So glad we could make this happen and really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.